drunk of the week?
Yeah, this is Drew, the drunk of the week.
Goodman at KTCL, how are you?
Good, thanks for calling me.
What a great idea for the drunken lush on your Christmas list. Denver's best dive bars, drinking and diving in the Mile High City. How did you come up with this idea? How did this whole thing start?
Oh, that's what everybody wants to know. And the truth of it is, I've been writing The Drunk of the Week for The Westward for about 2.5 years now. And the book publisher has done these, which is out of New York. They've done these books in New York and Chicago and Seattle and in L.A., and they wanted to do one in Denver. So they came to me and said, hey, we want to expand this series to Denver. Do you want to do it? And I, of course, said, yeah. So it wasn't even my idea. They came to me essentially with the whole format. They gave me a timeline. They gave me a small budget, and they said, do it. So it sort of fell in my lap.
Now, most people think of dive bars in Denver, and we've all frequented them on Colfax and like South Broadway, but you guys did a little different. You did not just those bars. I'm sure those are included, but you ventured out into the other parts of the city, correct?
It's true, yeah. No, I mean, the book drinks and dives through almost 100 bars, mostly in Denver, a handful in Boulder, and a few along the I-70 corridor. So, you know, the ones in Denver, yeah, there's plenty on Colfax and on South Broadway, but we're in Northwest Denver, and I'm in Northeast Denver and South Denver. I mean, I'm all over the place finding sort of the gems in the city, you know, as well as what's really funny to a lot of people that Boulder might even have dive bars, but I found some. And then at the I-70 corridor, we're always stuck on the interstate going to and from the mountains, you know, in traffic, trying to ski or do what we want to do. And there are plenty of places to just pull off and have a drink and calm down, like Kermit's in Idaho Springs.
Yes,
right off the interstate.
I was going to ask about Kermit's, man.
Everybody sees that joint and they think, man, I should just get off the interstate and go have a drink. And that place is incredible. It's got more than $5,000 in $1 bills tacked to every surface inside the bar. So I also included a section on, listen, just get off the interstate and give yourself a drink. You deserve it. Don't deal with all these Texas drivers riding on your tail the whole time. You just get off and get into a dive bar.
People that ski in jeans cannot drive to the ski area.
Fair enough.
All right. So, I mean, is there one dive bar in particular that stood above the rest? Is there one that you thought this place is the best place in town?
Oh, man, you know, the publisher demanded that I include a 10-best list.
Okay.
And I sort of kicked and screamed and didn't want to because I'd been in more than 100 in the process of researching. But so I obliged. I put together a 10-best, but I didn't rank them. But so some of those 10-best, I mean, they include the mainstays like, you know, Bar Bar downtown and the Squire on Colfax.
Yes.
And the 404 on Broadway and the Candlelight Tavern. But I also threw in some sort of oddball gems that I really loved while I was researching, like the Rustic Tavern. Over right off Sheridan, and the Squeeze In, which is a 400-square-foot dive over just off the other side of I-70. So no, I can't give you one. There's just too many for me.
Near and dear to my heart, I went to school at DU, and the Stadium is one of my favorites.
Yeah,
is that on the list?
The Stadium. Stadium Inn is definitely there. And I learned a lot while I was drinking at the Stadium Inn. Like, for example, that the stadium sells more Jim Beam per square foot than any other bar west of the Mississippi.
No.
And that it was the first bar to desegregate in Colorado.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, this is the folklore. This is what was fed to me by the bartenders. So, I mean, I can't fact check everything, but I thought it was good enough. I put it in the book.
Now, when you say dive bar, I mean, are there places that you went to that were just way too sketchy where you felt awkward walking in there? Or are these like dive bars that you can kind of hang out at and feel comfortable?
Both. So, I mean, I made the decision to also include some of Denver's landmarks. So, you know, like the Cherry Cricket and my brother's bar, they're not really dives anymore, but they're landmarks. And you know, they sort of started out as dives, so they make the list. You know, there are also places where I went into where, you know, I was the only white guy in the room. And it was like that scene from the Blues Brothers where the record scratches and everybody stops talking and looks at me. And I'm like, well, all right, here goes nothing. But so every bar in the book is rated on a scale of 1 to 5 bottles of beer, depending on how divey it is. And so, you know, some of those bars, they get ones. It's like, you could bring your mother in here. It's no big deal. Some of those bars are rated on 5 bottles of beer, and it's like, well, your mother might be propositioned by a meth head. You never know. Every bar in the book is also rated on a scale of 1 to 3 ironic mustaches, depending on whether you're going to find hipsters there. So, you know, a place like the Squire or Bar Bar gets 5 bottles of beer because that place is sketch.
Yes.
But it also gets 3 ironic mustaches because hipsters love that place.
You also have a section in here about drinking in the morning. Bars that open at 7 a.m. That's the earliest a bar in Colorado can open. Did you find a an interesting scene at some of the dive bars at 7 a.m.
Absolutely. I mean, there were approximately 15 bars in Denver that open at 7 a.m. and others that trickle open at 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. I mean, the 7 a.m. drinker is the person who's working an overnight shift, a third shift job. It's also the person who never went to sleep the night before, and you would be really surprised at how many people are at the door waiting for it to open at 7 a.m. And, you know, a lot of these bars, that's the great thing about dive bars is, you know, happy hour, we think of happy hours from, what, 4 to 6, maybe 4 to 7 if you're lucky. These places that open at 7 a.m., they have happy hour from 7 to 9, from 11 to 1, from 4 to 6, and from 10 to midnight. I mean, every hour is happy hour in these joints.
It's a great idea, man. And I'm wondering, you know, what's next maybe is one of these books for, like, the medicinal marijuana places, like a guidebook.
Well, that's what's fun. I mean, Westward got a lot of attention in the news for trying to get themselves a pot critic.
Yeah.
And I think that's essentially what they want to do is they want to cover these places. You know, it's a phenomenon. You know, I think dive bars as well, who knows whether they're going to be around. I mean, if I'd wrote this book 2 years ago, the list would be drastically different. I mean, places are just dropping off the map. Every day that we wake up and look for a place, one of them is gone. And so, you know, I wrote this in the front matter that, you know, I know the publisher imagines this book as a guide to go do your own exploits and have your own adventures, but it might end up being more of a historical record of the dive bars that were in Denver in 2009.
Now, did you find, last question here, that a lot of these dive bar owners, were they open to the fact that dive bars are sort of hip and they have been for the past couple of years, or were they sort of resentful? Like, for example, PBR, okay, that was the working class beer forever.
Yep.
And all of a sudden it's hipster right now in the last couple of years. Do you think, like, the old guy working in the car factory in Milwaukee or Detroit, does he resent the fact that young kids are drinking, you know, hipsters are drinking PBR now, or...
That's a wonderful question, and it really goes in both directions. I've encountered bartenders and managers and owners who they embrace it. You know, all the publications in town, they give out best dive bar, and they're like, well, we're honored. And then there are other bar owners and managers who absolutely resent the fact that they're being called a dive bar. And you know, it's a struggle to sort of say that, you know, this is kind of a badge of honor. And I had some bar owners make a distinction to me about, like, you know, I don't mind the whole dive bar term. It's hole in the wall that really gets me, because, you know, like the Rustic Tavern, it's owned by an 82-year-old woman named Joanne Turner. She's owned the bar for 58 years, during which time she's never had a drink or a smoke or anything. And she said to me that once upon a time someone wrote something about her bar and they called it a hole in the wall, and it really hurt her feelings.
Right.
Because she really takes pride in her bar and tries to, you know, she's got low overhead, which means she can offer cheap drinks, which means she can keep her customers happy. And so she doesn't mind the whole dive bar thing, but she does take offense when her bar is referred to as anything less than a really reputable place to get a drink for an honest person.
Nice. Well, let's see here. Denver's Best Dive Bar is Drinking and Diving in the Mile High City. It's out now, correct?
It is out this week. This weekend we're doing the official launch party on Thursday at Club 404 at 8 p.m. And we're doing a bunch of other events this weekend. And all the information for that is at denversbestdivebars.com.
Can you find the book at, like, Tattered Cover or in bookstores too?
Absolutely. You can get it at Tattered Cover. You can get it at Borders, at Barnes & Noble. You can get it at a bunch of the bars and a bunch of local shops like Mutiny Now and the Boulder Bookstore. And you can also get it on Amazon.
All right. Thank you, Drunk of the Week. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you so much for your time.
Take care.